Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are on this planet. Welcome to Golf Undigested, podcast number 83. Today is August 27th, 2018. We are on the eve of the 42nd Ryder Cup. Paris, France, Le Golf National. Looks like a heck of a course. My name's Clark Burrows. I'm the host, coast to coast. This is podcast number 83. Special thanks to Get More Sports for sponsoring the show. Check the sports app at the Google Store. GMS Get More Sports. Check it out. You know how we do it on the show. Podcast number 83. 83. What famous athlete do you think of when you think of number 83? First player that came to my mind, of course, is an ex-Buckeye named Terry Glenn. He was number 83 for the Dallas Cowboys, a speedy receiver, played for about a decade. But then I started thinking about Ted Hendricks. He was on those great Raiders teams in the 70s. He was number 83. He was a defensive end, and he is in the Hall of Fame. And if you dig a little deeper, you can come up with Andre Reed, who was a receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He went to 5 Super Bowls. His quarterback was Jim Kelly. You remember Thurman Thomas. They had a heck of a team, but guess what? They lost all 5 Super Bowls. It's the Ryder Cup. I love the Ryder Cup. I will be staying up all night. Starts at midnight over here, and I'll stay up till it's over. Session 1 is a 4-ball, best ball. Players play their own ball. I have some experiences to share with you as far as match play goes. We have a guest on the show a little later. And we'll be ready to rock it. Ryder Cup, baby. I love it. Loaded teams. USA's favored. We'll get on it. Let me wet my whistle, and we'll be ready to rock. Okay, I'm back. Golf Undigested. It's the 42nd Ryder Cup. We got session 1 starting. Hell, it's starting 12 hours from now. I better get some sleep so I can stay up all night. We've got Angus Hamilton, a buddy of mine who we trade markets. Welcome to the show, Angus. You've been on it before. Appreciate you being on.
Always a pleasure.
Let's jump right into the action. The pairings have been announced. The opening ceremonies are over. Did you look at the matchups, Angus?
Yes. No, I've had a good look at the matchups.
And what do you think? What hits you right off the bat?
Well, look, you've got to be slightly surprised by some of the European choices more than the American choices. We know there was a lot of talk that Tiger Woods team up with Patrick Reed. I think Patrick Reed's an interesting character, obviously, but his recent form is not great, to put it mildly. And I think Europe do have 2 very formidable four-ball combos there in Rose and Rahm and Molinari and Fleetwood. I think Rahm is just ideally suited to four-ball golf. I don't think I could think of a better player for four balls, and not the same for foursomes. So I think, I mean, quite rightly, they are favourites in that opening match against Brooks Koepka and Tony Finau, and that is a very, very strong pairing. Now, the interesting Europeans were Olsen, who, you know, talked beforehand. Olsen really hasn't played very well on the big occasion. He's a very, very solid player, but hasn't played well on the big occasion. Hatton, who did have 1 good tournament on the FedEx Tour, and Casey, who's been out of action in the Ryder Cup-wise for a while, but he seems to be better suited to US golf. My surprise was that, really. I did expect to see Ian Poulter be in the opening the session, given his record.
I was surprised by the omission of Poulter as well, but I think they're going to save him with Sergio probably in the afternoon, as likewise they'll put Stenson and Norin together. On the American side, what struck me is they split up Spieth and Reed. You know, they've only lost 1 match in President's Cup and Ryder Cup. Now they've got Patrick Reed with Woods, and I guess Spieth with his good buddy Thomas. We'll have to see how that goes, because Spieth, you know, the Europeans set up that course with high, heavy rough, and As you know, Jordan Spieth's not the greatest driver of the ball, so that could be a problem. DJ and Fowler didn't really surprise me. Koepka and Finau, I guess, you know, that Finau, you know, he quietly goes about his business and makes a bucket load of birdies. I guess that's why they put him with Koepka. But my biggest surprise was splitting up that Spieth and Reed. I guess maybe they decided it was time. I don't know. And on the European side, I was surprised that Poulter didn't get a shot. That Molinari Fleetwood team is strong. McIlroy Olsen, we'll have to see. Like you said, Rose and Rahm, they're going to be tough as nails. Casey Hatton against Spieth Thomas, that's kind of like a flip a coin, isn't it? I mean, Casey, he hadn't been playing that great. Hatton, he either shoots 64 or 74. Thomas, you know, will make a ton of birdies. I guess the wild card in that is that Jordan Spieth, how his game is. You know, no one knows. He didn't even make it to the FedEx Cup Finals, the Tour Championship. He missed out by one spot. But out of these matchups, which one would you wager on? What is your number one pick?
Well, I've got to be honest. I do quite fancy Molinari and Fleetwood to see off Tiger and Patrick Reed.
I do too.
They are the outsider. I think Molinari's been playing steadily enough since that incredible run, which obviously included winning the Open. Tommy Fleetwood's just been incredibly consistent. And I just think there's a big question mark about Patrick Reed. I know he's a very self-assured, cocky sort of player, but really, I wouldn't have had him in the four balls. I mean, it's really one of those things. I probably would have gone for someone else, DeChambeau.
Webb Simpson.
Yeah, I think Webb Simpson's really well suited to foursomes, personally.
I do too.
Yeah, and I can understand. Look, Jim Furyk, I mean, it's been said enough times, there's every chance there are very few Americans who play all four sessions on the opening 2 days. We know that won't apply to Europe. I mean, if Molinari, Fleetwood, Rose and Rahm, those two keep winning, they'll keep playing together, no doubt about it. I'm not sure that necessarily applies to the Americans. You might only get two players who play four sessions. Tiger, quite frankly, being one of them, because I think he might chop and change Tiger's partners. If Reed doesn't play well in the morning, you know, it's a lot of pressure, and they lose for them to go out again in the afternoon. But I did think there was a chance Woods would play with someone like a DeChambeau in the four balls. I'm slightly surprised with the form. The other interesting thing, and I always wonder, you know, I mean, people wanted to have Phil Mickelson around, but if Phil wasn't going to play the four balls, for me, the way he's playing right now, the foursomes isn't a good fit. So is Phil Mickelson possibly going to sit out the first day? I don't know.
I think he is.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance of it. But then I ask myself, why pick him? Because we knew this was his form going into it. He's been playing the same way for roughly 2 months. He's had a couple of good rounds. And really, you know, his performance last week was poor, as was Reed's. And I just think if he's driving badly, if a guy's driving badly, I mean, you know a lot more about the game than I do, but all I know is if a guy's driving badly, that really writes off the forces.
Well, one thing to take into consideration on that course is you're not going to have to hit driver very often. You know what I mean? I mean, they're going to be pounding 4 irons, 3 irons, hybrids. I think they're only going to hit maybe 2 drivers the whole day on that course. But you have to hit the fairway.
Well, I mean, look, that's a fair point, though. In Phil's case, maybe it doesn't really matter what club he's using. But I do agree about Sergio. I think Sergio's ideal for foursomes, even if he's not holding a lot of putts. And we know that's always been his Achilles heel. He's always been a really good driver of the ball and a great tee to green player, let's face it. So he's well suited. He was a surprise pick. I mean, I have to be honest, it caught me out. I didn't think he'd go for him this time round. Every player has his day in the Ryder Cup. You can't keep picking these great players. There is a moment where you say they haven't played well enough that season to be picked. But anyway, Bjorn showed a lot of loyalty to his mate. He's picked him, and I think he's got to come through in the foursomes. Again, he's not a player to be in the four balls. That wasn't a surprise. And I think, generally speaking, you're right. I thought Poulter could have played possibly instead of one of Casey and Hatton. I can understand Olsen being in the four balls in a way. But I just was slightly surprised by that. But you're right, the American selections aren't surprising at all, really. And it would have been more interesting if they started with foursomes.
Right. Yeah. That foursomes. That I think they. What do they have? Like, once they finish, or I mean, they start picking before they're even finished, don't they? For the second session.
I think they do. They haven't finished all the matches. It's a very quick turnaround.
Yes, like 30 minutes, isn't it?
It is. They grab one sandwich and off they go again. And you're right. I think the third match might not have finished by the time they pick them. And there's TV pressure, but there's also pressure on the fact that some of these guys will have to play five rounds in 3 days.
I think probably I heard that Bubba Watts is either sick or in real bad form. So maybe they'll throw him out. I mean, I can't see him playing in the foursomes either. I can see Webb Simpson. Maybe they'll put... It looks to me like they're going to try to put Bubba with Webb. But if Bubba's playing bad, Webb's got to go out. Who's he going to play with? Phil or DeChambeau? Or I don't think Phil's going to play the first day myself.
But you could be right. We could see Bubba and Phil sit out the first day. Definitely, I think we'll see Webb Simpson and DeChambeau in the foursomes. As I said, I think either of them, but particularly Webb, would be a good partner for Tiger, actually. The sort of steady player like Webb Simpson is. So I think we'll be interesting to see the afternoon pairings. And as I said, the pressure is on Patrick Reed. As I say, talk's a big game, but his form since the US Open has been pretty disappointing. He hasn't been in contention, and last week it was pretty abysmal. But the only person that made him look good was Phil.
Yeah, and they're both on the team. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there is an argument that, you know, you've got to look at that when we're trying to assess who's going to win this. How many players do you think are going to be almost kept till the singles? We've had matchups in the past where European captains haven't played their players until the singles. They felt that they were too inexperienced. Generally, they were players who qualified by right. They weren't wild card picks. It's a bit hard for a captain not to put his wild card pick into the fray when he's actually picked the guy, and that applies obviously to Phil. And I think that it's a difficult one. For Jim Furyk right now, because he's got two players there who really are struggling. And I think the European side, you'd have to say, Sergio has been struggling, but possibly if he can do his job with off the tee in the foursomes, he might not be a weak link. So maybe it's advantage Europe in that department.
Right. We just really don't know exactly what form they're in. I mean, we kind of do from last week, but... You know, that Patrick Reed, maybe he's striping it this week. I don't know. You know what I mean? But that Spieth and Thomas, do you think that's a good line, minus 165 over Casey and Hatton? Do you think that's on par, or do you think it should be a little less, or do you think it should be a little more?
I think it might look their favorites. I think they are. I mean, Justin Thomas has been on a roll without winning. He's been in great form. I agree with you about Spieth, but then you say, as you say, look, the thing is with Casey and Hatton, they're very much hit and miss, and they clearly could put it together and beat Spieth and Thomas, but I think they're the outsider in that matchup for sure.
Right. Yeah, I'm the only one that I really see that I like is that Molinari-Fleetwood. I think that should, you know, I think Reed and Woods are favored a little bit, like 125 or something, 120. I wouldn't be surprised if all of that, you know, that Molinari, I think he won on that tournament, on that course. I think the course is going to be a big factor because, you know, the Americans are bombers of the ball, most of them, for the most part. And guess what? You're going to take that club right out of their bag. You know what I mean? They ain't going to be able to hit drivers. They're going to be hitting two irons and one irons and three irons. You know what I mean? So they're not going to have any advantage. And like, let me tell you, I've seen that rough. It's thick and lush and tough. If you hit it in the rough, you're gonna have problems.
Well, look, I think that's true, and that's why, you know, in the four balls isn't as important, obviously, in the foursomes, but even in the four balls, you've got to say Tommy Fleetwood in particular is a fine U.S. Open player, and Molinari is a consistent hitter. I mean, obviously, Brooks Koepka stands at the top of that list. But you're right, when you've got players, there's a cloud about them, and it's how straight they're hitting the ball, then there's an issue when they're playing on this style of course. So it's really, to me, a very even Ryder Cup. I think if you analyse the teams, America have a slight edge. They've certainly got higher-ranked players. But Europe have, for many years now, risen to the occasion in the Ryder Cup, particularly at home.
Oh, they haven't beat them over there in 25 years.
They haven't beaten them in 25 years, but there have been some thrashings there and the odd one away as well. And there's still a mental thing. I think there's still a mental thing that the European team, it's more the European team going out there thinking they're going to win, just as much as the Americans feeling under a lot of pressure. But I do think the Americans feel under a lot of pressure. They're sort of the superstars of the game. I know the world number one is a European, but it's in terms of the number of players.
Actually, the world number one's Dustin Johnson now. Did you know that?
Well, it's got back after the week.
Yeah, Justin Rose was for 1 week. But well, I know what you're saying.
I know, exactly. I mean, look, it's very close to the top there, and probably Rosie deserves to be number one. But the thing is, just the number of players at the top of the game. The US Tour has always been stronger than the other tours, particularly the European Tour, and here we are. And they have a lousy Ryder Cup record, and yet they've got a great President's Cup record. It is hard to understand. I think the crowds are clearly more intimidating in Europe, particularly from my part of the world, from Britain and Ireland, where they really do get behind this event. And I don't think with the President's Cup they ever really have done when they've taken outside of the US. But it's still a staggering record, and it's something I know they always feel determined. Last time they had problems with Tom Watson's captaincy, and there was clearly infighting. And it's this time around, you're probably not going to see that, but you never know. And the pressure's on for sure.
What about some of these golf props at BetDSI? Did you see any that you like there? Who do you think will be the top point scorer for, say, the USA or Europe? I have one in particular that I do like. I like Tommy Fleetwood to be the high point scorer for Europe. I think he's going to play all five matches along with Rose and McIlroy. I think those guys will be sent out there every day. I like Tommy Fleetwood to be the high point scorer for Europe. Do you see anything that you liked?
Well, I mean, at this stage, I think that's probably a fair call. I mean, I'd probably sort of argue the same thing with Molinari. I mean, I think you could argue have a bet on any of those guys who are going to play all, likely to play all five matches. You have to believe, look, if Rory and Olsen strike a partnership and win first thing, hey, maybe Furyk will go with them in the afternoon. So for anyone looking for a bit of value, the value is always to back the lesser-known player who's playing with a decent player, as long as you believe that the captain would stick with them if they're winning. But, I mean, I think if McIlroy and Olsen came out and beat Johnson and Fowler, he considered playing them again in the afternoon. So you're getting a big price here on someone like Olsen. I mean, you've got to look at the winners of this market in the past have always been fairly big priced. Last time it was Thomas Peters, who actually was top overall scorer. And I can't remember who he played with first up last time. He ended up with Rory.
Oh.
He played with Rory all the time. I think there was a switch. They might have got a half in the morning.
It didn't matter.
But the bottom line is he bounced back. Rory and him played unbelievably well together. And Rory didn't win his singles, as we know. He lost to Patrick Reed. Peters won his singles. And I think he was a 50-1 shot to be the top overall scorer. So it's interesting to look at that market. And Olsen, maybe, remarkably, could be a bit of value. The fact that he's playing with McIlroy. And, it's almost worth a gamble.
Yeah. How many, there's another prop up here, Tiger Woods total wins. How many total wins do you think Tiger will have? One, two? He's got a losing record in the Ryder Cup. He's 13-17-3 in the Ryder Cup, and he's played in seven of them. He's played 33 matches, and he's got a losing record. In the four balls, he's 5-8-0, and in the foursomes, he's 4-8-1. So clearly on the team matches, he hasn't done very well. He's 4-1-2 in individual, singles matches. How many wins do you think Tiger will have this week?
Well, before I actually come up with that figure, I think captains always have a problem with Tiger. They never know who to actually play him with. I think he's personally making an error this week as well. I just don't think Patrick Reed's the right fit for him. And I would have been looking at Webb Simpson or someone like him. But anyway, I think, assuming he loses his first match, and I think he obviously will go out in the afternoon, the one thing I think Tiger will definitely play is three of the first four sessions. He's got a great singles record. I think I'd get him home in the singles. You just don't know who he's going to play. If you look at his history, he's played all sorts of players. He's actually played Molinari the last couple of occasions. I think two wins is about right for Tiger. And maybe a pickup at a half. I think the market is about right.
Right.
And I think the thing about Tiger, I mean, obviously there's always hype about him and people love watching him. But it will be interesting to see how many different partners he has in this Ryder Cup. I mean, that's an interesting thing. You know, if Reed comes out tomorrow and plays badly, the pressure's on Furyk to drop him straight away and then move Tiger around. And then, you know, they were even talking up Phil playing with Tiger. But I just, as I said, I don't think we'll see Mickelson tomorrow. So Webb Simpson, to me, would be an ideal foursomes player for Tiger. But obviously, if they win in the morning, they'll play again in the afternoon. And I think that's a thing to bear in mind. And look, there is something, again, you know, when you look at the American side tomorrow, looking for the lesser player in a combination who you think could play again in the afternoon. But the Americans do move the players around. As I say, you would find very few of them would play all four sessions in the first 2 days. Just as an aside, I just looked up the last Ryder Cup. And basically, Thomas Peters started off with Lee Westwood on the opening day, got absolutely destroyed by Johnson and Kuchar 5-4, and then he joined McIlroy and they were unbeaten. They won their next three matches and he won his single. So he actually won with 4 points. And it's quite incredible when you think about it. And that can happen. Someone can bounce back from a defeat and still be the top scorer. It's interesting that McIlroy managed to get the best out of Thomas Peters, and it would be interesting to see if he can with a fellow Dane in Torbjørn Olsen.
Mm-hmm. What about the, what are you predicting the margin of victory? Who do you think wins and what's the total points?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when the look at the overall thing, I think there's always an upside. I find it hard to see the Americans winning easily. I have to say that. I just think there will be, I think the Europeans have always got that home advantage, which will always make it close. And I would be surprised if America won by more than three. To be honest, there is always a chance the Europeans win more easily. It's happened before. It's happened in the States once when it was at Oakland Hills. But also it can happen as it happened at the K Club. I do think it will be a close Ryder Cup because I do think this is actually one of the best quality Ryder Cups we've seen. And also after one of the best seasons in terms of the consistency of so many top players. They've been incredibly consistent this year, a good chunk of them. And there have been very few surprise winners on tour this year. I can't remember a year where there were so few field players outside the top 50 in the market or 30 in the market winning. It's almost unheard of. So I do think it's a very high quality Ryder Cup. And for that reason, I do think that it will be close, but the value is not necessarily back in those margins because they are the shortest price. So if you're going to have a bet, possibly it is worth going for the bigger margin for one of the sides.
Right. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that the U.S. retains the cup with a draw. That's what I'm rooting for. That's what we need. I say it's going to be a draw. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be nip and tuck, like you said. I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people think. They're comparing this team USA to the basketball dream team. I don't see it. I think that the, like you said, the home course advantage, the European captains can set the course up how they want. That favors the Europeans. I think it's going to be a very close match. I think it's going to come down to a 7 or 8 foot putt on the last day in one of the last matches is how I see it coming, and I think it's going to be a draw. I think they're going to tie, Angus. That's my 2 cents.
Well, the most amazing thing about the draw is a bet. For people who like trading and have the ability to trade in and out, and the draw being one of the three outcomes, the draw is almost always in contention in the Ryder Cup going down for the last hour and a half. you could find one of the sides is a long way behind, and you struggle when you're looking at the numbers and say, right, I don't think they can pull this back to actually get ahead of the other side. But invariably, you can actually add it up where they think, well, this could be a draw, and the draw could shorten in, come right in to plus 300 or even less, and not end up being a draw. So there is an argument to have some money on the draw beforehand. It's a bit like, it can be like the draw in other sports as well. The draw is always a runner, and it will be in quite a lot of the individual matches as well. And so some people do like backing the draw, particularly when you're betting against three outcomes.
Right. Yeah, I'm not too, you're much more familiar with that market than I am. But I think it's going to come right down to the wire, and we're going to see a heck of a Ryder Cup. The emotions are high at this event, higher than any other sporting event, really, probably that there is. I mean, maybe the Olympics, but I don't know. These guys want to, they have respect for each other, but they want to beat the hell out of each other. And let me tell you, a quiet guy, there isn't no such thing as a quiet guy in this. They're all fired up. Actually, I roomed with Dave Duval for a year before he was number one player in the world. Actually, he's a vice captain this week because Tiger made the team, so he replaced Tiger. But at any rate, I roomed with this guy, Angus, and he was one of the most quiet, calm guys I've ever met. Well, guess what happened to him when he played in the Ryder Cup? He played in two of them. I think he only won one match, but the one match he did was on that miracle comeback, and he wasn't quiet. He was, you know, putting his hand to his ear. You know, it was very different than the type of person that he is, and that's just because he was hushing the crowd, putting his finger to his mouth, hushing the crowd. And let me tell you something, he's one of those quiet guys I know. So in this format, in this event, emotions run really high. And I think sometimes the emotions gets the best of some of these guys, you know. I mean, you make a putt, you go one up, you know, there's 14 holes left. Maybe show that emotion when you're on the 16th hole, closing the guy out 3-2, you know what I mean?
Well, I agree. I agree with that entirely. There's been animosity at times, definitely. At Kiowa Island, it probably got out of hand there. I think it became almost militaristic. From memory, it was not wasn't long after the Gulf War, and I think that it suddenly got to a lot of the players. And you're right, the great comeback. Well, there've been two great comebacks in recent years, both in the US, one for either side. Actually, the European one more recently was more of a miracle, really, when you consider what had to happen for them to come back. But in play, but it was, it's look, up to me, it's one of the great sporting events on the planet. If you like golf, the Ryder Cup is a spectacular event. It's great fun. And I don't think there's a better 6 or 7 hours of sport than the final day with the 12 singles matches. I think the first 2 days, in all fairness, I find are a bit tame. I don't know, I'm not that bothered if I miss those. But the last day, I think, is just one of the most exciting periods you could ever watch in sport. And I don't think you get that in any other sporting event.
Yeah, I agree with you. Having played in the Walker Cup, it is a fantastic event on a fantastic venue with the top 12 players in the world from each side. So as we get to the end of our show here, who is your pick to win the 42nd Ryder Cup?
I'm going to go with Europe.
All right. I'm going with a draw. But I'll tell you what, you and I will bet a dinner. I'll take USA. You can take Europe. When you come by and see us over here, I'll either treat you or you can treat me. We have a bet.
Well, I think you got the best end of that odds-wise, but I will begrudgingly accept.
Okay. All right.
I think I ought to get the draw. To make it fair, I ought to get the draw.
All right, you can have the draw. You can have that's the fair. Draw in Europe.
You have a slight edge, but at least that's fair.
I got the USA, and if I'm betting this, I think I'll bet Europe. I don't know, just something tells me that when everybody thinks it's a dream team, everybody thinks it's the greatest players ever they've ever had, I don't think so. I don't know. I just think that that home course is going to be too much. The rough's high. I just think that the Europeans are going to win or a draw. But as far as you and I goes, I'll stick. You know, I'm an American. I'll bet you can have the draw. You can have the Europe's, and I'll take USA for a steak dinner.
That's fair.
All right. Well, that's Angus Hamilton. Thanks for being on the show. And I'll be right back after I say goodbye to Angus. So, Angus, thanks for being on the show.
Absolute pleasure.
Okay, so there you have it. We've picked our poison. We've picked our winners. Let's let it all unfold. The 42nd Ryder Cup. It's one of my favorites. And if you get a chance, on a side note, don't be afraid to take Vijay Singh over Woody Austin on the Champions Tour this week. That's my pick, Vijay Singh over Woody Austin. Off the beaten path a little bit, but that's a chicken dinner winner, let me tell you. So at any rate, let's enjoy the Ryder Cup. Let's get out there and play some golf. This is match play. You're going to see all kinds of things happen, and it's going to be fun to see it all unfold. So my name's Clark Burrows. I'm the host coast to coast of Golf Undigested, podcast number 83 in the books, where we talk about the greatest game of all, golf. Go USA. Bye-bye now.